Huzzah!
Right, okay. It's, right. Everyone all well? Everyone well?
Yes, well, yeah. Tired, but yes, all
right. Right, everyone seems to be tired. I've been up since 5 o'clock with Daisy.
I'm up at 5 o'clock all the time because I'd be sleeping on the sofa because it's so bloody hot in the bedroom. Because allow the windows to be opened in case a bee comes in and kills her. So, and then the sun streams in on the bloody from the roof windows at about 5 a.m. So yeah, my sleep patterns are about 11:30 till 5 at the moment. It's great.
Bees are famously nocturnal.
Well, quite. And I just can't, you know, so it's sort of either don't sleep because it's roasting hot or sleep for half the night because the sun comes in. So I've gone for half the night.
It's the podcast with a K. I'm Christian Corley, with me is James McLean and Gareth Kavanagh. Chaps, it's been ages. What's happened?
Well, I looked at my Skype log of calls because I only have a Skype you two. Okay. And I think our last one was recorded in March, and that's ludicrous.
I've been so busy and tired and too busy.
I've taken too much on, I think, so I need to deliver a couple of projects. And then spending whole days sat on the sofa just watching the box.
James, what have you been up to?
Couple of projects, been busy, stuff in the can.
Cool.
Nothing I want to particularly share with anyone.
Man of mystery, love it.
There is a bit of me these days which is been slowly rejecting the internet, which is just getting slowly tired of the whole notion of the internet. And I don't know whether that's in part because of the sort of mood of society which sort of bleeds through media communications, that you know, you go on, you're almost kind of looking for bad news or stupid news or stuff which is just crap, and then this whole network of talking to each other, and it's just part of me which is just slowly divorcing myself from it. So you know, doing things like this is fun, but by and large I kind of like sort of just doing what I'm doing, coming and chatting and trying to just sort of tease myself out a little of this sort of weird way that we now sort of converse. You know, I don't know, have you not got to that point yet where you, I mean, Gareth, you've never been particularly, well, you are on Facebook, but
I'm not as plugged in. I mean, I'm sort of kind of in a sort, I go on the internet and I probably only visit about 7 pages really. I use it to buy and sell things I need for the arcade machines. Yes, Facebook, I'm trying to do less scrolling through Facebook. And then I'm just plugged in on Twitter and Instagram promoting things. And occasionally I read the paper. I'm probably like a sort of tiny bit of the internet. That's enough for me.
Yeah. Obviously I work on the internet. So that's a little different. Yeah. In terms of Facebook, I don't use Facebook for much other than groups nowadays. And they're like comedy based or, you know, Doctor Who related or classic TV related, and retro gaming really. So there's other types of gaming I'm interested in. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption since December, and I still haven't got to the end of it. Red Dead Redemption 2.
It is
a great experience.
I've played, obviously we're in the same generation. I just paid £2.60 to download Fallout New Vegas. So I've been playing that. But I think it's interesting because I'm seeing there is a quite a big revival in the sort of retro game scene in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, not revival, but a sort of increase in interest or visible community.
Is good. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, we've said before, I mean, I'm like pretty granddad on these these open world ones, like Battlefield, where all I do is jog around Endor and get shot. And occasionally I find an unmanned laser cannon and someone stupid enough to walk in front of it. But I'm always right at the bottom with like one kill or no kills. Well, there's people every 3 seconds. I don't find that fun. You know, I do miss a sort of nice, spending 3 weeks playing Resident Evil 2 all the way to the final. That is nice. And that's a better kind of gaming.
It's funny we've ended up talking about retro gaming, because there's something about that I will be talking to you guys about in between podcasts. But let's move on.
Yes.
Gareth Cavanagh.
The retro gaming chat.
Gareth, you, yes. you've when we first met, you had a yes. pub.
Yes.
And you did interesting things with that establishment, and you had events on and things. And then now you don't have a pub, but events are still very much a thing that you do.
That's true. That's true. I now do the events, but don't have to serve thousands of people every week and show the football. So it is kind of an improvement, really. So yes, we still do events, and we do obviously less of them. But yeah, we had Warris Hussain with us, the lovely Warris Hussain with us in Liverpool on Saturday and Sunday. And that was great. We do our events now in a little TV studio called Video Odyssey at Toxteth TV. So it was like a sort of Lime Grove vibe. And yes, we had several screenings, a bit of live commentary on Adventure in Space and Time. And we reunited Warris with Love Letters on Blue Paper, which was one of his Play for Todays from 1976, which had Patrick Troughton in the lead. And Troughton is staggeringly good in this. Real, you know, really meaty stuff, talking about, you know, really considering them big questions of death and that raging against the dying of the light. Brilliant. So, yes, that was my weekend. And
wow.
In between, we took Warris to the Cavern. In famous Beatles Cavern in Liverpool. So Warris had a little jive, did a little, you know, bit of twist and shout, bit of scream. Yeah, it was great. It was a cool weekend with a cool guy.
The Cavern's an interesting place. We've been to the Cavern, haven't we?
We went to a convention at the Cavern, yeah.
Yeah. It's very hot in there, isn't it?
It was like a sauna, full of the Who fans and Barry Letts. And there's a market for that. There's definitely a market for a sauna with Barry Letts.
Well, not now, obviously.
Not now, no. No, he might not be as chatty now. But, yeah, it was a good do, that. That was a really good do. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm guessing there's a question in there somewhere.
There probably is a question in there somewhere. I just, I mean, that's one of many events that you've done with Video Odyssey, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've done seven.
Yeah, they're our new partners now. We're not doing any events in Manchester now. The last one that we did was the big Warp
mm-hmm.
Some twine rang me. I'm back. Yeah, so we did a bit of help with a big con in Manchester, but that's we're pretty much done for cons in Manchester for now.
Right.
Mostly because there's no venues left that we like. So,
that's a shame.
Yeah, but when someone offers you, and I know it is hard for all the people who've supported our Manchester events, but what I'm saying is, if you stay in the car for an extra 45 minutes, you will get events in a fabulous TV studio with free arcade machines and the coolest venue you've ever seen. So it's good. But maybe we're not done with Manchester. Maybe we'll be back. If we find the right venue, we'll be back with stuff. But for now, we're in Liverpool.
And did you also have Eric Sayward recently as well?
No, we recorded. We did a media day with Eric.
Right.
At Video Odyssey. So we recorded lots and lots and lots of little interviews with Eric, and some quite big interviews all around the Lytton comic, but about Eric's career and his life. And we delved into a bit more detail into some of his great characters, you know, like Richard Mace. You know, love a bit mm-hmm. of Richard Mace. No, man. You know, it's great fruitiness. So that's all really to support the Lytton comic, which is coming out in the autumn. And then we'll have all these little video bits that we can pop out there regularly to give people the full Eric, as we like to call
right.
it.
The full Eric. Cool.
The full Eric.
That sounds good. Now, there is something else going on, which I'm really impressed by. Some people would be less impressed, I dare say. Others will be even more impressed. I don't know. But you're going to Edinburgh.
Yes. So this is probably why I've been so busy. Now I'm recounting all these bloody things I've been doing. I'm beginning to understand why I haven't had a day off since 2017. Yeah, we're going to Edinburgh with two shows. So the first
Two. Wow.
I know. The second one kind of snuck in there like a bonus mission. And I've got a feeling, like all the underdogs, it'll probably end up eclipsing our main show. But our main show is We Apologise for the Inconvenience, which is our Douglas Adams play with Douglas locked in a room by his publisher in 1984, trying to finish So Long, Thanks for All the Fish. So that's a great piece. So we're on the Royal Mile in a proper venue, the PQA venues, which we only found out the other day stands for Pauline Quirk Academies. So it's Birds of a Feather, Pauline Quirk.
Yeah. She has a whole chain of them,
And all her little quirklings, I guess, will be there as well. So, and then we're doing Sitcom Stories is coming back, which is the little anthology piece we did, which was all around stories around classic sitcoms. So about the creation of them, about the people who were in them. And brilliantly, a very surreal piece written by Paul Mars with Margot on her own in a Stephen King's Mist-style apocalypse.
Margot from The Good Life.
Margot from The Good Life on her own in the house. Everyone else has gone and not come back. And she's beginning to think they're not coming back. And I'm going to have to do something about it. Very good piece by a great writer. So all six are we're performing a selection of the six over the same week, which is the 9th to the 16th in Edinburgh. But we're in the Free Fringe this time. So you turn up, you watch it. If you like it, we're grateful if you put some coins in the bucket, because that's what the actors are living on.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, you will get to see some good stuff, including your favourite John Cleese writing Fawlty Towers with Connie Booth and a great little farce by Mark Griffiths. So, yeah, lots on. And in between that, I seem to be spending my entire life digging out arcade machines from sheds, cleaning them down, fixing them and getting them back out there. Roll on.
I understand from recent research and, well, not research, that's not the right word, just things I've been exposed to recently, that Edinburgh is more expensive than it's ever been, and that Airbnb has tripled prices. So how has that affected you?
That's probably right, but to be honest with you, Edinburgh is not as bad as some of the other fringes, which I know is hard to believe, but we recently did the Brighton Fringe, and I cannot recommend that lowly enough, because not only are there no audiences outside of the weekends, as we found in a thrilling Monday to Wednesday slot, but the costs of the venues are the same as Edinburgh, and the accommodation is reasonably cheap, but you've got to travel a long way to get to it, and the audiences just aren't there. That's what we found. Now, in Edinburgh, luckily, with the venue we've gone with, we're able to access subsidised student halls of residence. So we're only paying like £25 a night for a room. So that means the accommodation is cheaper than Brighton. The cost of the venue is the same as Brighton, more or less. And we will be in the world's biggest arts festival with 1,000 times more audiences to aim at than some of the other fringes. So strangely enough, not as bad as you would think. And I would say to anyone who wants to take a show to Edinburgh, try and find a venue where they've got this wonderful student residence subsidized accommodation, because it may not be as expensive as you think to take it there.
There you go. Useful hot tip there.
Oh, yes. I'm thinking of it like a very expensive holiday, to be honest.
So you've been getting good reviews for the Douglas Adams.
We have. Yeah, we have. We had one very strange review in Brighton by someone who if you read it, they hated it and then they gave it 3 stars. So I'm learning to sort of I'm almost learning to ignore stars and read the review. There's a very famous reviewer here in Manchester who gives everything 3 stars. If he loves it, he gives it 3 stars, and you can read the most glowing review off him, 3 stars. You can read a review where he really doesn't seem to like much about it, 3 stars. So So I read the reviews a bit more now. But yeah, we've had some lovely reviews. Broadway Baby gave it 4 stars, which is, that's a big national one. So we were very pleased with that. But do you know what? I think this is one of these shows that is really for the fans. I think you can come as a non-fan and enjoy the story. But if you love Douglas Adams and you love that whole world, there's so much in it there for you, including beautiful animations in the Rod Lord style to open and close it. It's, you know, it's, I think for a Douglas Adams fan, it's a 10 star. So if you love Douglas, go and see it. So we're hoping that there are at least 600 Douglas Adams fans who want to see it in Edinburgh. I don't think it's a big ask, but we'll see. But it's doing all right. So far, ticket sales are nice. There won't be a house in Monaco off it. There may be a week in Benidorm off it.
We often talk about reviews on our podcast. So what I wanted to know was what happens when you get a bad review? How does that feel? Does it feel like it's realistic? Does it feel like they didn't get it?
Oh, you go through all of the stages. You know, first it's a gut punch. And then you sort of go, really? Really? And then you think about it a bit more. And then you go, and maybe sometimes it's fair. And maybe sometimes, and this does happen with genre stuff, sometimes the reviewer just hates genre and they've come in to give genre stuff a kicking. And that does happen. And if you realize that, I mean, we famously got a 0.5-star review for V for Vendetta off someone who just doesn't like genre. And I know I've got a friend who reviews stuff and he went to review the Susan Boyle musical a few years ago. And he gave that 1 star. But he was at least big enough to acknowledge in his review, I really am the wrong person to review this. I can see that it's got merit, but I hate it. So you can. So once you sort of strip out the people who just don't like your genre, you're then left with the review. And there are reviews that are really nasty and personal. And sometimes that's down to almost like a sort of shock jock mentality that some reviewers have, where they just really want to sort of nail something to the wall and you're just the thing that they want to nail to the wall. And then sometimes you have to accept that maybe they haven't got the piece and the piece isn't clear enough in some aspects. And sometimes a bad review is handy like that, because you can go back and go, okay, that's interesting, because I always thought that was pretty clear, but it's not. And sometimes you can go back and refresh and review. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but then at the end, you get rid of it. And sometimes a sort of outlier 1-star review, let's say you get uniform 3, 4s and 5s, or mostly 4s and 5s, and suddenly a 1, that can be quite handy, because you can run as reviled by the blah blah blah. Or you can go, well, this is interesting, we've had 5 4-star reviews and 1 1-star review, who's right? Come and see and decide. So they can be helpful, but it's a sort of moment, but in that horrible phrase, you just have to suck it up. Now, if you're only getting duff reviews, then it's possible you have got a stinker of a show, and that's awful as well. And there's one show I worked on a couple of years ago, which I just buried, because I knew it was dreadful. And you just have to accept that. Every now and again, you do cough up a time in the Rani.
Well,
and I'm sure no one working on Time of the Rani expected they were going to make the worst show ever made, but they did.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. Yes. Gareth, can you tell us when the shows are on at the Fringe?
Oh, yes. So we're at the Fringe, at the Edinburgh Fringe, from the 9th to the 16th. And if you can't get to Edinburgh, but you're in the vicinity of Buxton in Derbyshire, we are there from about the 10th of July for a week or so. I can't remember the exact dates, but it's from the 10th of July.
Okay, so it's 9th to 16th of August in Edinburgh and from the 10th of July in Buxton.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast, available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.